Wake up, you sip hot tea. Mindless music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till
Rick Adams is on.
Oh, I am. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to announce that I have survived another week, and you have too, I hope. And we're back again today on this Saturday excursion into the world from delusion to reality. And this weekend, of course, Mother's Day weekend, we'll talk about that in a little while as well. Art from Philly will be rejoining us today, some special clip or two. But as you know, first of all, before I introduce my guest for this hour, I do like to get right into my little scriptural dissertation. You know, I was filling in for John Stadtmiller the other night, Thursday night, and I talked a little bit about Deuteronomy 28, you know, the curses and the blessings, and what would happen to his people, true Israel, in these days, in any time, whenever they disobeyed God. And we saw what happened and what's happening to us now in America and the world today, but particularly here in the land of plenty, the land of bounty. Now we're beginning to have shortages, and we're beginning to have all kinds of calamity, uncontrolled, disportations and problems that we never thought we'd quite have. We live in such a progressive era, and we live in such a technologically advanced era, but somehow, ladies and gentlemen, things just aren't going that well for us today, are they? Does remind me of the days of, captivity in ancient Egypt and, of course, in Rome and Assyria and Babylon and so forth. Well, anyway, now I turn to the verses in Deuteronomy chapter 32, the so-called Overcomers, Moses' song. And, you know, it's kind of long, so I won't read it all. But if I start in verse 43 of 32, Chapter 32, he says, "Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and be merciful unto his land and to his people." And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people. He and Hosea, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all of Israel. And he said unto them, "Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command unto your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whether ye go over the river Jordan or to possess it," and to possess it. So, folks, and that's the last verse that I'm quoting, 47. You can read, there's just a few short verses more. We are reading the song of the overcomers, and hopefully most will be there, will be with the overcomers when that song does come to total fruition on the day of the Lord. And folks, we are witnessing as never before that day rapidly approaching. And we are now seeing all the signs and all the seasons and all the signs in the heavens and on the earth that we've been talking about for a long time here on my program, on this program on Republic Broadcasting. And now this past week, I didn't notice that it was given much attention, and I didn't expect it to in the media, given all the propaganda and the disinformation and the falsifications and all of the lies in the media, but particularly the preoccupation with the COVID-19 pandemic. So one thing that we are going to introduce right now to your attention is something that just happened just the other day. It is called the National Day of Prayer. The National Day of Prayer worldwide, but here in America particularly, one of the key spokesmen for it is Mr. Alex McFarland, and he is with me on the phone lines right now, I believe. If he is, hello, Alex, are you there?
Here, can you hear me okay? I'm here.
I sure can. Can you hear me?
I can, and let me say it was very edifying. It was a blessing to hear that opening devotional thought there from Deuteronomy. Very good.
Yep. Yes, it is. Thank you. Thank you for that. I was watching you on one of the videos up on YouTube before I came on, and in that discussion that you had with, I believe it was Mr. Womack, and all of your own sites, you know, that you have for this generation that we're living in now, you know, the generation of the fig tree, the bad fig tree, and also
yeah.
This up-and-coming generation in America today, that, you know, we are seeing things happen as we've never imagined them to happen. You know, I don't know about you, but, I mean, I was born in the 1950s, and I was born at probably just the right time. And, I was given good parents, and they were great, traditional family. It was a Catholic family. I left all of that myself, but, you know, I was seeing the changes taking place when I was going to school. We were in public schools, Alex, and in 1962, we had the Supreme Court decision, and then another decision in 1963 that interfered with the prerogatives of local school boards across America, the Shemp case and the others, mm-hmm. and basically said you can't have God in the public schools anymore. And that's what we went through, that era. I saw it. I lived through that transition. And as a result, I saw things change. By 1970, you know, we had the Woodstock generation, and then we went into Roe v. Wade. We went into this whole humanist agenda. We went into this evolution thing, and all of this has happened in my generation now, and the up-and-coming generation of our youth. It's no wonder that suicides are out of control. And I say, this is what happens when they have no faith and no God, no absolute values to look to that I had and you had. And is this basically what the National Day of Prayer represents, Alex?
Yeah, thank you for inviting me to speak about that. And you have very correctly analyzed the last, 60 years of our country's trajectory. The National Day of Prayer was really initiated by Truman 70 years ago, or maybe about 72 years ago, because, our founding leaders in America's history and leaders up through recent years have understood exactly what you said, that without God, without an ultimate foundation of morals and truth, we would disintegrate as a nation. And so I've been involved in the National Day of Prayer for a number of years, and last year we had over 200 campuses organized where we had students, middle school and high schoolers, praying on their campus. Of course, we couldn't do that this year because of the mm-hmm. COVID quarantine and all the mm-hmm. lockdowns and everything.
Yes,
but you mentioned some of the court cases that effectively served to remove prayer from public schools and the posting of the Ten Commandments, and here we are now, quite literally. We are in danger of losing our Constitution and certainly our constitutionally protected civil rights. And I want to say to your listeners, and I'm very honored, my friend. I'm so honored to be on Republic Broadcasting with you for a few moments. But whether somebody's a Christian or not, because every now and then if you talk about morals and you talk about right and wrong, I'll have skeptics and atheists, they'll call us and they'll say, yeah, but you can't enforce your religion on me. First Amendment has the non-establishment clause. Congress will make no law regarding the establishment of religion. Here's a big epiphany people need to have. Religion and morality are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
While it is true the First Amendment says that the government is not going to show preferential treatment to any one religion, in no way should that mean the abolition of morals. And part of the reason that we teeter on the brink of lawlessness is that the moral foundation, the founders believed, Dr. King called it our Judeo-Christian heritage. Harry Truman, Teddy Roosevelt, even Bill Clinton called it our Judeo-Christian heritage. Franklin, Madison, Washington, John Quincy Adams, very often they talked about the laws of nature and nature's God, or as Jefferson said, self-evident truth. What that means is, you know, irrespective of the religion one pursues, there is this moral code that goes all the way back to Aristotle and even before that, Moses. And my prayer for this nation, I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian and a minister, and I want people to know Christ, obviously. But for America, at the bare minimum, we must remember that there is moral truth. Nobody invented it. It's not hateful to enforce it. But there is a moral foundation that our Constitution, Declaration, and Bill of Rights stands on. And a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people know it and they want to abolish it. But without morals, this nation will disintegrate. And I fear we're watching that before our very eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are really at the pretty much the end of the road here. And when you see that we can treat a child in the womb as if it's nothing more than just a scab to be removed from a mother's skin, then we know that we have no moral compass. As you say, we have no absolute values. And then what the government and the Supreme Court can say is good today may say it's bad tomorrow, and vice versa. And that's why in the Constitution, they were locked in that the Supreme Court could only interpret the law or the Constitution according to what it says at the time it was written, not to update it, not to modernize it or to apply it in such a way that it means exactly the opposite, you know, of what it was meant to be then, a restraint on government, not a restraint on local state governments or individuals. And yet they've turned everything upside down, Alex, to the point where it's a 180-degree turn in this whole business of what is the Constitution. You know, the Constitution is nothing more than a piece of paper to be thrown out and just extinguished in a flame, according to some people that we've heard in public office and so forth. It can mean whatever we want it to mean rather than what it clearly sets forth. So, you know, the courts are supposed to be restrained by the Congress, and they can overturn any decision that, as we know in Article 3, Section 2, Clause 2, that comes up the appellate ladder. They can prevent the courts from hearing these cases, and they can abolish the court's appellate jurisdiction in all matters. And yet they've never done this. In recent times, they have done it way back when, but not since the 1960s or 70s. So they don't want to. The politicians love to be able to say, well, it's not me. I'm not against prayer, and I'm not against God. It's the courts have spoken. You know, this is the generation of mindset, I think, that we live in today. And many of the churches, as you have seen, are moral relativists themselves. They look forward to a pension, the pastors. They look forward to not upsetting the apple cart too much. Most of all, they don't want to lose their IRS, 501c3 status. So what do you have to say about that, what I've just said about the, what is law and what is the Constitution and Congress and so on?
Well, everything you're saying, I resonate with. You're right on the money, and I want to say to your listeners, you know, how privileged I am to speak with you, because you and I are definitely kindred spirits. But pastors need to get some courage here. You know, I've pastored in the last 30 years. I was a youth minister, and then I pastored two churches. One church was a fairly small church of about 150 people, and then I pastored a church in Charlotte, North Carolina, of over 2,000 people. So I understand that, you know, pastors feel like they have to be very diplomatic at times, but we need America's pastors to really get some courage and speak truth here and stop worrying about their pension and their, you know, popularity. And we need some pastors that will lay down some truth. I was, have you ever heard of the Barna Research Group, George Barna, very respected pollster and sociologist? He's new with the Barna Group.
Yes.
Okay, I was on the phone with George Barna about a year ago. And again, Barna is very respected. Of adult parishioners, Protestant and Catholic, 30 and older, they estimate 74% of parishioners want their pastor to speak about moral, social, political issues. But only about 12% of pastors do. So, I mean, think about it. 74% of your parishioners, three-fourths of the church-going adults, they want their clergy to speak, you know, what saith the Lord on moral, social, and political issues. But yet only about 12% of pastors and priests and clergy do. And so what I would say to my brother clergy, and again, I mean, I've been in the church world for three decades. Look, men and women of God, we must speak what thus saith the Lord, and not only good scriptural exegesis, but good history. Our people, the roughly 100 million adult Americans go to church or claim to be Christian, again, Protestant and Catholic, and we, if we're going to retain our liberties, not government-granted, God-granted, but government-protected liberties, we're going to have leaders, and especially religious leaders, that, for one thing, have the smarts enough to accurately present what this Judeo-Christian representative republic is, but then the courage to speak it. And let me just say this. You mentioned those that want to, you know, change the Constitution. Be careful. Whenever you hear somebody like a Hillary Clinton or a Ruth Bader Ginsburg say that the Constitution is a living document, be careful.
Oh, yeah.
Because that certainly is hate speech to mean we'll reinterpret it to say whatever we want. You know, language is objective. Now, progressives, they want to twist language, thin language, really rape language of any meaning, but language, and this relates to the field of epistemology, how we know things. How do we know what we know? For one thing, words mean things. I know that might sound kind of redundant, like, duh, but, you know, words have meaning, and part of the reason that Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, when President Trump appointed Gorsuch and Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, you might have heard the phrase that they were originalists, or they were constructionists. In other words, they believe that the way to understand the Constitution is to understand the words as written. We, you know, we don't impose a 21st century spin. No, we are originalists or objectivists. And another way to say it is they are natural law jurists. In other words, they're not basing their decision on the most recent legal precedent. They're basing their decision on objective, timeless, natural law, things that don't change.
Exactly so. Yeah, all right, we have a break here now. Alex, would you just hang on, please, and we'll have our producer pick up for you. Maybe we can get a better phone signal as well. Stay where you are.
Okay,
and
Jason.
I will announce the change, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for a group of spots. You listen to our commercials and give us some support.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
We're just trying to tinker a little bit with Alex's cell phone because it did come in a little bit distorted for me, but I think we can manage, and it hopefully will improve now, Alex. So, what you've just said, what I've said, you know, it's like we're preaching to the choir here, and we do know what we're talking about. But this business of secular humanism and all of this, New Age philosophy, that's the term I'm thinking of, New Ageism today, has supplanted what used to be real Christianity. And unfortunately, an example of this just happens to be what you referenced in your introduction with me. This year, we were not able to meet in college campuses and in auditoriums all across America. Now, much of that is due to this declaration of emergency in many of these states where they have, for the first time in memory, succeeded in shutting down churches due to this crisis. Now, they haven't done it everywhere. As you know, a number of states won't allow it. And in Kentucky, of course, they've just gotten a reversal from the federal courts. But, you know, in many areas of the country, they're told that God is not as important as obeying the state. I see this as incrementalism and a logical progression from the 1930s and the whole business of the New Deal, and God is going to be put on the back burner. Look to government for your sustenance. Look to the state for your pensions. Look to government in entity form in any way you can, but do not just trust God and your own ambitions, your own prerogatives, because somebody in the state, the group, the greater good, will take care of you. And I see this as a national disgrace, a progressive philosophy of total state worship. And this is why I have been so offended by this movement to just willy-nilly tell pastors and parishioners they just cannot attend a building in any record number of people, over 5 or 10 or whatever the number arbitrarily may be. I mean, is this an example, or am I just overreaching in your opinion of what's to come, a harbinger of more to come with Christianity?
No, I think you've described it exactly. I think you've described it exactly. It is incrementalism. And, frankly, I've been just shocked and troubled at how quickly all of America, especially churches, really just rolled over and played dead as our civil rights have been suspended. And, I've got to say to all the Bernie Sanders supporters and all of you AOC fans that are enamored with socialism, this is socialism. The government telling you where you can go, what you can do, going to stores, having to wait in line, shortages, beef shortages, paper shortages, toilet paper shortages, getting a test done at your doctor's office and having to wait weeks to get a test result. For all of you dreamers that are enamored with socialism, it's this plus 10 times more. So I pray to God that, let me just say this. As a Christian, I know my home is in heaven, my hope is in Christ, and I know the Lord is coming back one day. But Augustine said this. Augustine lived 354 to 430, and he wrote a very famous book called The City of God. And he said, for the believer, our home is in heaven, the city of God, but as long as we're here on earth, we have an obligation to the city of man. Christ said we're to be salt and light. And I've had pastors reprimand me and say, why are you so concerned about America? Because I thought our home was in heaven. And for the Christian, it is. But let me say about America, we need President Trump to get reelected. I've met the president. I've been on phone calls with the president. This president believes our Constitution. This president has, and I know this on absolutely unimpeachable authority, this president has made a commitment in his heart to Christ, but that's not the main point. The main point is he is a constitutionalist, as our founders understood. And if Biden, and I'll be surprised if Biden even is the Democrat candidate, but even if Biden is the candidate, he will be a shill, he will be a puppet president, and probably... people behind the curtains will run things, and we are truly, truly at a moment of destiny. Either our Constitution or socialism/communism, and that's why I would implore people to pray for this country, young people especially. The greatest chance you have to explore your dreams, pursue your destiny, and shape the future that you want to have for yourself, not socialism, and it's not liberalism, and it's certainly not anarchical relativism. It's a constitutional free republic like our founders bled and died to give us. It all hangs in the balance. And so we've got to get some hope, some courage, and some initiative here, and pray for America, vote, and persuade those around us to vote to get this president reelected.
All right, okay. Some of us, will agree with that. Some of us will not. We'll just say it's a moral, spiritual issue more than anything. And, of course, I fall into that camp. I've been saying for years that no matter who you have in office, no matter who you elect, if the foundation is rotted, you don't start fixing the attic. And you've got to start with the foundation of America. And that's where the preachers are supposed to come in, and we find them failing. We find the televangelists bringing in big money. They're looking at their paychecks, their ledgers, and so forth. And quite frankly, many of them have been stealing from the people that give them money. They've just been taking money after dollar and saying, give me your money or God will not bless you. And, you know, this does not make sense biblically. As you know, God does not send out beggars. You know, he takes care of his church. He takes care of his people when they are faithful to him. But my point is, we have a moral crisis. We have a spiritual crisis. And as you know that verse of Scripture, I think quite readily, 2 Chronicles 7:14, my people who are called by my name, if they come back to me, I'm just summarizing it, but he's saying if they return unto me and hearken their hearts to me, I will heal their land. I will heal their land. They're not going to heal it. They're not going to have any politicians heal it. He's saying I will do it. So if he can heal, then he can also, I think, judge and punish. And what we're seeing is we're seeing some, I think, self-inflicted wounds of reaping what we have sown. And, you know, worshiping idols, worshiping materialism, worshiping money, all the things that we think can make us happy. And then at Christmas time and Easter, you know, we take out the Bible and the ornaments and then we dust them off and we say, praise God, then right back to business. You know, I don't think God is happy with that, Alex. And I know I wouldn't be if I was a father. You know, if my kids, little children, were just coming to say hello once or twice a year and say thank you, Dad, and then taking off, and they're playing with the parents as kids that are the enemies of my people, the enemies of us, and don't care about my family, I wouldn't be very happy with that. I would be kind of upset, and I think that's the way we need to think in America today. This is just my commentary now, you know?
Yeah, well, you're right on the money. You said it so well. And I want to apologize for the poor cell phone signal. I'm traveling, but give me another chance. I'll be in the studio, and it'll be clear. But, you know, ultimately I'm hopeful because I'll tell you this. I speak to a lot of young people every year, and many of them have never heard about the truth of our founding and our government. Many have never heard about the gospel of Christ. But young people are hungry for truth. And I will tell you this, if we pray, if we speak the truth, if we influence those around us, if we vote, and if we turn to God, you know, one life at a time and influence others to do the same, we can have hope for this country. But if we continue on this path, like you said, of materialism and secularism, and really rejecting God, aborting babies, and living immorally, then we'll face the judgment of God. But I'm hopeful. But, you know, I would say to everybody listening, you know, the main call of life, the most important thing, is to accept Christ as your Savior. And God loves you. God loves the world so much he sent his Son. And I say this, Jesus is as close by as a prayer. So to everyone listening, if you've never received Christ into your heart, right now today, confess your sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. And I believe Jesus, the Son of God, gave his life for me. And my website is just my name, alexmcfarland.com. But, you know, we're talking about saving America, and that's important. But let's not forget the saving of souls. And so all of
that's
you dear listeners,
issue.
I hope they know the Lord.
Sure, sure. Well, I know you say you can come back when you're closer to home, closer to the studio phone. Is that okay? Then we can have you back?
Sure, sure.
I appreciate that.
Fortunately,
I was able to understand, and we were able to understand just most of what you had to say, and that's fine. That's good enough. We've had worse than that, that's for sure. But I thank you for coming on the program, and we will do it again, and we'll get into a little more depth, okay?
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex McFarland. I appreciate it. And we will, as I said, we'll be in touch. Thank you. It's good to have him on just for a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Ken, for arranging this. I'm looking at the videos, and I'm enjoying it. And I'm enjoying some of the conversation. Some of it, you know, we're going to disagree with some of it, obviously, theologically and so on and so forth. We don't just take the whole kit and caboodle and suggest that we can take it carte blanche. That is, our religious differences, our scriptural differences on, you know, what is America, what is Israel, and so on and so forth. But that's okay. The main focus is what is happening to us, and America leads the way. You know, it used to be a slogan, folks, that as America goes, so goes the world. I'm sure you're all pretty much familiar with that slogan. I certainly heard it many times, and I saw it come to pass. America used to be a beacon of hope to the world, not a doormat, folks, for people to, to just come over and say, we're entitled to come in and do whatever we want. No, that wasn't the meaning of America the Great. Now it's become America the Great basket case nation. The whole point of this country was to establish freedom primarily of faith, of religion. That's the whole point. And we lost that, didn't we? Didn't we lose that? We sure did. Okay. Very good. No, we gave that up. Now it's, you come here because you need a job. No, you come here because you need to bring your family so you can get benefits. No, you come here in this country so you can be entitled. You know entitlement? This is the age of entitlements. And the only problem with that is that when you say somebody or some group or individuals are entitled to something, it must be, at somebody else's expense. The government doesn't have any money. The government doesn't possess any money. All it possesses is your tax money and debt. And who are we in debt to? Well, the bankster, gangster, criminal, scoundrels, of course. So, ladies and gentlemen, very simple. We are a debtor nation. And in the books of the Bible, the first five and the Pentateuch, we're told over and over and over again. I was just reading it again in Numbers. To be the what? Lender and not the borrower. Now, when you become the borrower, you're no longer practicing God's economy, God's word. What you're doing is living the curse. Now you are a slave. Your government is owned by some criminal elitists. The criminal elitist seed line of the devil children. Because that's what they are. They've in bondages our people. That's a new word I made up. They've in bondaged our people. They've enslaved them. And our people are getting what they deserve. As I was just saying to the preacher, you know, and I like to tell people this story, folks. Bear with me for a few moments because I'm going to play a link coming up by another pastor, Pastor Danny Jones, who pretty much has it, not entirely, but I think on the mark about this COVID-19 baloney. What you've done is insulted your father. Now, all of us had to have a father, I presume, right? There may be some that are test tube babies, but even they had to have some way of producing the sperm and the egg. So, I don't know. I don't know a lot about biochemistry. I don't know a lot about biology. I know enough to get by. But I do know that everybody has to have a father. Now, does everybody know who his father was? I'm afraid to say no. That many today don't even know who their father or fathers are. They have no idea because it may have been somebody who just came along and, you know, had an affair with mommy and then took off and was never seen again. This is what I have found to be the case, especially in the inner city schools now where a family member of mine has taught for years and years and seen it come. You see, you got to bring the parents in. You've got to bring the parents in to talk to them. What parents? They don't have any parents. The state is their parent. Do you understand? They don't have parents. Oh, they may have a mother, And you know what kind of a mother or a mom she is. We're talking about Mother's Day now. She's not a mother. She's an incubator. And that's sad, because in my generation, following, you know, the most evil war in history, World War II, we saw the growth of the family again, the baby boomer generation. And that was a time to bring kids into the world. Many GIs, of course, were killed off in that Rothschild banker gangster war. They never did come back. But others took their place. It destroyed families at home, just as it destroyed families overseas. The mass slaughter, you know, Victory Day, we talk about the VE Day. Well, it's VF Day, Victory Over Freedom, destroying families, children, men, women. Now, you see, God's got it all written down, my friends. He's got it all in the books. Who did what to whom? And invariably, it comes back to Cain and his seed line, the Cainites. Now, many pastors, and I'm sure even Alex doesn't really know who these sons and daughters of Cain are today. Many of our churches are actually worshiping them. They're actually placating them. They're actually serving them side by side in the war against Islam, the war against the new boogeyman, the war against COVID now. Whatever war it is, they're involved arm to arm, shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot, neck to neck with that synagogue of Satan. Well, they shouldn't be, and God's not happy about that either. Nevertheless, we saw the destruction of the family from the 1950s on, when, in fact, families were beginning to multiply again in America. 1950s. Two children in my family. A sibling beside me. And the family was revered. The family was, you know, like untouchable. It was the glue of society. But like I said before, 1962 and 1963, the American Jewish Committee and the American Civil Liberties Union went to court, and they prevailed. The Shemp case in Pennsylvania, Abington versus Shemp. And in the 1963 decision to remove not only the prayers from being said, release time and so forth, but to remove Bible study from school. Now, you have to reap what you've sown. God is not mocked, and he doesn't hate people. He doesn't hate art, but he does hate it when he's ignored, and he does hate it when we spit in his face. So you know what? He says you go right ahead, and you reap the consequence. Now people are teary-eyed. They don't know what to do. They can't even go and see their loved ones in nursing homes. They can't go see them in hospitals. They can't even bury them, and they're crying and so forth. These are just the beginning of sorrows, we tell them. This is only one prelude to a greater crisis that will be coming. It's a test or trial run. A trial run, folks. That's what it comes down to. Because the envelope has now been pushed, and it's being pushed more and more in your faces. I see people today in my state, in Rhode Island, you know, we have this new mandate, the partial opening of parks and recreational areas and restaurants and so forth, according to government whim, not according to their whim, but according to what the governor says, our little new age governator, Gina Raimondo, which means traversing the world government. And she's strictly New Age, so-called Catholic, you know. And what we have is the government granting permission for businesses to reopen according to government's demands in the name of protecting people. Well, if we wanted to protect people, then we'd start with the very young. As one of my callers said this past week, we would start with the womb. We would start with the kids who are being abused and mentally abused in the schools, in the nurseries, in the kindergarten, wherever they may be, on television, with what they're allowed to see and what they're allowed to hear and so forth. We would start by protecting them. But no, that's a personal issue. Ah, It's a personal choice to kill a child in the womb. Why isn't it, therefore, a personal choice to walk down the streets, your streets, my streets, without being told I have to wear a mask? And we have the mayor of the city of Providence, the reptile-like creature that he is, Mayor Elorza, turning to the microphones and telling people they should shame anyone who's not wearing a mask. Well, he's got a mask, and I'll tell you, it's quite a scary one, too. So maybe he should be unmasked, and maybe he should be shamed. But this is the Stalinist mentality that is being used, the communist Cuban model, for squealing on your neighbor, embarrassing your neighbor, cajoling them, insulting them, hurling all kinds of expletives at them because they will not obey. They will not be a team player. I thought that was what America was supposed to be about, not being a team player, being an individual. Now, if it's a provable threat to anyone else that by me being out without a mask, me being outdoors, or anywhere for that matter, without dressing in the attire that the government says is necessary, prove it. Prove it in a court of law. Don't issue an edict. Don't, proclaim a declaration of war on the individuals who make up the society. 10 or more, 6 or more, 5 or more. How many is too many? Well, the governor will decide. How many is not enough? Well, the governor will decide. How much should we be allowed to make in our businesses as a profit? Well, maybe the government can decide that too. Because after all, it is a public health issue. If people can't afford to go out and eat and they can't afford to buy, then they may be troubled and may suffer heart disease or some sort of calamity. So the government must intervene, right? Well, hey, don't say it too loud because there are wackos. The so-called progressives and communists who really believe that. They really believe the government should control everything, except them, of course. And this is what it comes down to, folks. It comes down to control. And how can you control others but by using the state and the powers of the state to enforce your particular edicts if you're a governor? Now, in this state here where I live, Rhode Island, the legislature, to the best of my knowledge, the legislature never gave the state or the governor the particular powers to be able to invoke an emergency situation based on this perceived threat that by people who are breathing without a mask on may be spreading the germs that may cause the coronavirus. It's not provable. It hasn't been proven. In fact, now the statistics just today printed show that 95% of those who have contracted it have recovered and have not perished, which means that we're told that a dictator, as governor, can essentially make an order, lock down a state or a city or a town or a community based upon a percentage that is not even enough to constitute a threat to any large group of people. So that's a pretty big yardstick, wouldn't you say? It certainly is. But then again, have you looked around lately? Have you looked at what exists in your society? You know, I was just telling, my podiatrist the other day, I was telling, some woman came in last Sunday to a little sandwich shop, and my friend and I, a good friend who he and I get together and we do some Bible study on Sunday. We got together and walking out, this woman says, "Oh, for goodness sakes, wear your mask," and we laughed. I laughed right at her. But what I'm going to say the next time, usually it is a woman, usually it is a millennial, I'm going to say, "Are you wearing your chastity belt?" Now, don't laugh. I'm not trying to be flippant. I'm not trying to be vulgar. Believe me, I'm not. I'm just saying, ask them if they are. How many times did they engage in sexual activity this week or whenever and potentially creating a dangerous situation for others? They have a cell phone. Do you know how much radiation they may be getting from that cell phone that's causing them damage? And if they get brain damaged or some kind of state of incoherency, then they are potentially a very serious threat to me on the roads, or walking in and out of businesses like that. So you see, I'm not a team player. I will play only when it's constitutionally permissible, when I am perceived to be a threat, when I'm shown to be a threat to somebody else or to the group as a whole. That is, people around me that I may come in contact with. I mean, if I'm carrying a bomb and I'm carrying some kind of device, a biological weapon in my hand, and I'm going to use it, that's a different story. Then you have every right to interdict me. But I'm not doing that. And I don't see many doing it to me. So you see how we've all been pandemicized? We've all been frightened into finding a new little boogeyman to fight? First it was the Nazi. Then it was the communist that we created by helping to subsidize, arm, supply, and legitimize the communists. Then it was a new era. Then it was Islamic extremism. And then we go from Islam and the allegation that Islam attacked America on 9/11 to a new Saddam Hussein threat. And then we go from that to another, global warming. Now we've got corona. Then we've got killer bees and killer bugs and all kinds of caterpillars and locusts and everything coming at us. So we need to be frightened constantly, constantly scared into thinking that we have a new enemy. When we know who the enemy is, we know Satan is the greatest enemy of all. And his children are doing his work. They're frightening. They're scaring us. They are making us so fearful that we do nothing but just cry and sit in our little chair all day long. Time for a break. We will come back. We have more to come, much more. Rick Adams, Uncensored. Stay tuned and you join in.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus? For a one-time donation to RBN of only $500. It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure. Fingers and or toes often go cold. Arms and or legs often go to sleep. Sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe. Short walks cause cramping or pains in legs. Memory is not as good as it used to be. Ankles swell late in the day. Chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
Yes. Hello there. Happy Mother's Day. all you moms out there and grandma moms and great grandma moms. Well, we're going to take some calls in a few minutes. I do want to share with you, though, this link. We'll run a few minutes of it, maybe 5-6 minutes of it, Ken. And we'll do it right after the top of the hour. How's that? But it is a link, Danny Jones. You know, I wanted to do it last week, and I wanted to do it the week before. But, you know, we've been very busy here on the program. So we only have the 2 hours a week. Maybe we'll get three someday. Maybe we'll just take over the whole day. I don't know. But anyway, no, I wouldn't want that. And you wouldn't want it either. But seriously, the things that I've been thinking about lately are very important because, you know, we have a little reprieve now. We think that we're going back to a state of normalcy in America, but I don't see that happening, do you? I see that this so-called economy, I don't know what that word really means, the economy. It's a word that almost has no meaning. It's ambiguous. The economy. What is the economy? Well, what we call the economy is basically one big debtor's prison. We've never had an economy as bad as this, really, since the 1930s, the Great Depression. The only difference is now the entire country, and the entire world now, has been leveraged on credit, with the exception of a couple of countries, the ones on the hit list, like Iran, particularly. They don't want a part of this new world order. They don't want a credit card economy. But the synagogue of Satan says you must have it. And we're going to dredge up all kinds of boogeyman ideas in order to get the whole world to gang up on you. We've done that. We've extorted from you. We've twisted your arm behind your back. And we'll do more. We'll do some breaking. Because we are in control of the money. We're in control of the academics. We're in control of the media. We're in control, yes, even of the churches, you see. That's why I say God's not happy. He sees what these pastors and teachers, these Schofield ministers are doing, the John Hagees and so forth. They're raising not hundreds of thousands, not millions, but in some cases tens of millions of dollars to support an evil fig tree in Jerusalem. And they do it lovingly, they do it pleasingly and happily. And God says, do not have anything to do with that tree, that generation. Just like in the garden, for in the day you do, you have that sex with that serpent, you will surely die. And this is the death tree, the tree of death, that will end this age, planted in the city that is called God's holy city, Jerusalem, the city of peace, God's city of peace, no less, Yah. So he's not happy. And he's not happy with the preachers, and he's not happy with the people in the pulpit. Now, the others, I can give them a lot of slack myself, and I can see where God will have mercy on them in the millennium. Because they've been mistaught. They've been lied to. They've been brought up in this generation. They don't know morals, folks. These young people today that McFarlane were talking about, they never heard of Christ. They never knew of Christ. Where have they been? They know the Holocaust, they know Marx, they know Engels, they know all of these others, but they don't know about Christ? Boy, if that doesn't tell me something, the real Christ, of course, very few know about, but if that doesn't tell me something, I don't know what to expect next. Shall we read Aesop's fables again on the air? Maybe we can do that. But that goes to show you how we have been Talmudized in the mind, we've been brainwashed by this group, in our minds to accept a one-way narrative of all of what they call history. And it's not history. It's mythology. So we've been lied to. We are being lied to. And unfortunately, I hate to tell you, but most people now have become so anesthetized in their minds that they enjoy the lie. And God said, if you want to be lied to, I'm going to increase it. I'll let you believe a lie. So he turns them over to a lie, that they might believe it. That's where we are in America today, living the lie. I think we have the hour break coming up now. Is that right, Ken? So we're going to let it roll in, and play a little music, and then we'll come back with hour number two and this clip Stay with us, folks. You on the line. We'll return with Rick Adams, Uncensored, here on republicbroadcasting.org, and join us on our Facebook page, Rick Adams Uncensored.
Shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.